If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 in your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Peter Roteneicher from Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. One question regarding your robotics division. So you had a really excellent order intake, and also the sales volume was on a quite high level. On the other hand, the EBIT margin of 7.4%, given this high sales volume, I think is a little bit below expectations. What is the reason here? Is it the product mix, which was not so favorable? And could you give us an indication about the share of Quantec sales in this Q1 figures? You mentioned for the whole year you expect 30% share.
Is this the only question?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what is important to understand the Q1 EBIT margin of robotics, you're right, at first glance, you would think that at more than 130 million sales, you should see a 10% EBIT margin roundabout. However, what is behind the 7.4%? The one thing is that we have roundabout 2.8 million more R&D expense in robotics, especially compared to last year's quarter. So the main reason is, as Till mentioned, significant efforts, especially in the new product development, lightweight robots. Currently, these expenses are running through the P&L, and only when there is a milestone achieved, then we're going to capitalize the R&D expenses on the light robot. So this is one impact, which will be lower than in the following quarters, is the high R&D expense, which burns the Q1 EBIT margin in robotics. A second one, Quantec, in the first quarter, we have roughly sold 700 Quantec machines already in the first quarter, so this is not then that the total automotive industry is provided with the Quantec, as we shift customer by customer from the old generation to the new generation. The market mix itself was quite fine in the first quarter, so there was no auto-loaded business. It was almost balanced between automotive and general industry. Also, one thing which is important to understand the EBIT margin robotics is that due to the major change on the FX development, especially the US dollar, we have some losses, which is more than 1 million in the robotics business due to the valuation of the derivatives. So these are special impacts, especially in R&D and in the FX area, which have then at the end led to this lower margin in the robotics business. When we look forward, we will hopefully see a more stabilized situation on the currencies. Let's hope that the dollar and euro in this relation finds a point where we can also then have a calculation in the range of 140, 145. Then we should see also lower impacts on the FX area. And also, and when we then start capitalizing R&D expenses in the advanced robotics section of robotics, these two items will help us then in the upcoming quarters to come much closer to 10% margin as we ourselves have set as target. If we look into the robotics business itself and would exclude mainly then our efforts in the advanced robotics section, then we can tell you that in the industry part we are at 10%. I hope your question is answered so far.
Yes, thank you. But perhaps one additional concerning the good order intake situation. Have you seen already some improvement here in the quality of these orders? So can we expect here backing for higher margins than in the future? And could you give us an indication about your expectations concerning R&D expenses for the following quarters?
Well, when we look into the price quality, we see that there is an improving quality. because currently robotics is a seller's market. That's clearly what the signal is from the marketplace. Not only KUKA, but also our big competition like FANUC and ABB, we have now really then the limit on the supply chain side, not only KUKA, it's the whole industry. There is a bottleneck purely from the supplier side, so we can currently make some bottleneck margin steering of our orders. This means that we take care that their more profitable orders have priority. However, we have to take into account that we have important customers in the automotive industry, which we will serve at any circumstance, because they are responsible to load round about half of our business. So we see already in the first quarter a nice margin development concerning gross margins. As I mentioned, in the industrial part of the business, we are at the 10% range, and therefore the better price quality is already to a certain extent factored in here. When we look into the overall R&D expenses, what do we expect for the whole year? This should be a number in the range of 35 million. Then we have currently a 9.7. So you see that there is then a slight decrease, but this is mainly due to the fact that we have done more capitalizing than we have seen in the first quarter here.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
We will now take a question from Achim Henke from WestLB. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Achim Henke from WestLB. A few questions. Firstly, on the order side, BRIC countries here, demand is strong. That's no surprise. However, is it a general market trend where you're benefiting from, or is it also actively triggered by some measures from KUKA? Secondly, the order backlog you already mentioned, Mr. Schulak, in the past answer, that you have longer lead times from sub-suppliers. Can you just elaborate on this issue a little bit more in detail, given the impact on the volumes you get on the critical components and also the pricing of these specific input materials? Finally, on the pricing quality you have mentioned, are you able to roll over all higher or potentially higher input costs to your client outside of automotive? I'm just thinking of general industry applications where you're entering new markets and where, in my view, the situation is still relatively competitive and you have to compete against really the big names from the industry. Final question here on capacity. What is currently the utilization rate in the robotics and systems division, and is there any spare capacity you have, or do you need some additional workers, temp workers, during the course of 2011? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, maybe let me start with BRIC. I think on BRIC, we know that the growth regions are the BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and we have taken the measures or are taking measures to further benefit from BRIC. We have development from 17%, if you look at the annual 2010, now to 20%, and we clearly further increase the share of BRIC, which is in one way clearly where the market is, where we see lots of the market development, and we have taken measures. We have new Geschäftsführer, new management in the systems in China. We have going to ramp up our capacity on the robotic side. We are increasing capacity in Brazil with new people for the systems and then for the robotic side. So I think it's both. We see the growth in the region, and we are taking the measures to benefit from the growth. If you look at the order intake, I think it's important to mention that we have more than 50 million order intake from China and more than close to 50 million from Brazil. That means out of the four countries, two are most important for us. So where we see the big growth, it's Brazil and China. And therefore, it's on the one hand the market, but we have to take chance of the market, and that's what we are doing, where we are going to see further development in China and in Brazil. I think it's from the BRIC side, and clearly goal is to get to a stake which is more close to 25%.
Concerning the question lead times, Normally lead times are in the range of 8 to 12 weeks, so this depends also on the product which is ordered from the customers. Currently, but this depends also product by product, but in our main product, this is then the medium and high payload area, we are sometimes at 20 weeks now lead times. This is due to the limited capacity of the sub-suppliers. There are two ways then in the future to bring down the lead times once more. The one is then that especially sub-suppliers of critical parts, yeah, everybody knows that this is on the gear side, because this is also disclosed from our competition. On the gear side, that we have then higher capacities available than especially from the Japanese suppliers. So this is something that will go on over time then, that they can increase the capacity. This is then also the main driver to come back to normalized lead times here. Concerning input materials, the main input materials we have contracts, and also the pricing is fixed, so there is normally only limited room to maneuver for our sub-suppliers to use the situation and to increase the prices. Also, when we talk about our potential to forward then price increases or to use the seller's market position now to increase the prices, as you mentioned, this is a very competitive environment where the robotics is acting here, and for sure it depends what the competition is doing here, especially Fanuc, ABB and KUKA. And I think nobody will now go into a mode to have a formalized price increase now thanks to the situation. So I don't expect now that we can benefit from situation in a way that we have now a general price increase. So for sure, there is option in the pricing that we, in our component pricing, could use situation, but this is not the way we do it now. As I mentioned before, the way is that we look into the orders, into the negotiations, and that we really prioritize then orders where the discount asked by the customer is the lowest one. This means we maximize the margin here based on the huge quote book we have available here at KUKA. Capacity utilization, we're running at full capacity in both divisions. This is also what you can see when you look into the systems revenue base, which was very strong in the first quarter. When you look into our manufacturing chain here at KUKA in Augsburg, I think some analysts know the facility here. We only need to add some workforce for us to increase and also the capacity of assembled robots. So the bottleneck is not really on our side. The main bottleneck is on the supplier side. But currently, what the layout is normally for the Augsburg facility, this facility is running currently at full capacity. The same applies to systems. Since we have this sharp increase in the revenues, the one thing is that we really have a lot to do here, especially also in Augsburg, compared situation in 2010. But what is also important to note is that we have also then the improvement in our processes in working on the orders at systems, that we are really are focused on being quicker also on the POC recognition of revenues, and this is also in the process improvement to more quicker recognize the revenues in our POC orders. And we look forward capacity utilization. You have seen that there were some announcements also from the competition, the robotics business, especially Fanuc. I think there was a statement that they can increase the capacity and plan to increase the capacity to up to 5K robots per month. This is their plan. But it's important to understand up to 5,000. Yeah? So this does not mean that they are now working on a 60K robot production per year. The message clearly is that they can, that they invest into capacities to be prepared to assemble up to 60K. We are also working on our plans to increase for sure our capacity significantly, since we see in the next years also a further rise in the business in the robotics, also concerning the units manufactured. So we are also working on expansion plans, and an integral part plays here our China facility, where we clearly want to extremely ramp up the output there.
And if we add together, we have up to 15,000 in Augsburg and up to 5,000 in China, so getting to 20,000. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. May I ask just one follow-up question, please, regarding the bottlenecks from the suppliers and sub-suppliers. Is this or will this become a serious issue also for you to be penalized by certain of your clients where you are then finally not missing the missing the deadlines?
Well, normally in our contracts, normally there is no major risk that we have then also penalty payments due to late delivery. For sure, this is our task now to look into the contracts and to talk to the customers which have confirmed delivery dates that we talk to them. And as I mentioned before, one focus for sure are the big OEMs, which are then the critical ones. And here, the main task of the sales department currently is also to manage the customers' expectations concerning confirmed delivery dates and also then the necessary adjustments on delivery dates. But a major significant negative impact on our financials due to penalty payments we don't see now.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We will now take a question from Ulrich Stilz from UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Ulrich Scholz from UniCredit. Just wanted to come back to the last question. You earlier mentioned that you could perhaps face higher logistic expenses during the year. Could you give us here an idea what amount we speak about in a worst case and whether it would just be paid by you or by both you and your supplier? Second question with regard to interest rate and tax rate. Is it right to assume that your interest burden during the quarters to come will come down? And in the first quarter, you had now a tax rate of 34%. What's here the best guess for the full year? And last question with regard to your order backlog. What part of the order backlog will already turn to sales in a running year?
Maybe let me start with the freight cost. I think that not to have a misunderstanding here. What my explanation was that we are, Natesco is putting all the gears on the ship currently, so all units which we ordered are on the ship and we have sufficient stock for until end of June. Everything is running as planned. So what we cannot foresee, and that was something where I'm talking only in potential scenarios, we are not aware of any signs indicating a deterioration. And what I want to show only is that the long time on the ship, the 10 to 12 weeks from Japan to Europe, if there would be any impact in June or July, there is a possibility to have shorter logistic lines if you would fly things from Japan to Europe. However, we have no indication, there is no sign that there is anything deteriorating. The only thing which I want to make clear that, you know, the long time on the ship would allow us to take measures, maybe to also work against any deterioration coming from Japan. So there's no further increase in freight costs coming from this. It's only scenarios where you should be aware that we have contingency plans and that the longer the time lasts from this crisis in Japan, the better we are, the more stable, the smaller the impact could be in any case. And that was the only point I want to make, and it's not about higher freight costs for the year.
Concerning your question on the interest expenses, well, currently in the first quarter we're running at the rate which I also explained on the balance sheet and on the Bilanz press conference for 2011. We currently have 4.8 real shown in the interest expense and the further 1.7 in the reconciliation for the 1.7 for the IAS 23, so this is 6.5 times 4. This is in the range what I mentioned before, some up to 10 in the IAS 23 and up to 15 in the interest expense, so we're currently the 25 million range all in. As I mentioned also, what are the main drivers and levers to improve the interest expenses? The one is that we can switch major OEMs from bank guarantees back to corporate guarantees. We're working on this with a major OEM customers, but there is no success today which I can disclose which would have a significant positive impact on this line. The next one is then really that we have increased interest income on our cash position. Now, this is currently something we cannot see so far, that we get better interest also on our cash position on the asset side. The next one, which I mentioned as a potential, is then, for example, that we can buy back more from the convertible bond. This is also something which currently is a limited potential. So at least for today, I would say you can stick with the calculations going forward with the following quarters with the current interest expense rate. If there is then something to adjust, then this is relevant enough that you should also adjust your models, we would guide you here. Concerning the tax rate, we have capitalized so far what we see as realistic concerning the utilization of loss carry forwards on the tax side. We are also now starting to utilize from this loss carry forward from the capitalized position. And therefore, the current tax rate of 34% really is then the expected tax rate for the full year. And when I mentioned that we also utilize loss carry forwards, which are capitalized now tax expense, you also understand that in the tax expense there is a deferred position, and this is now utilizing also then the deferred tax asset position, since we do not increase further the capitalized position on the loss carry forwards, because at a certain point becomes aggressive concerning the balance sheet policy here behind. Backlog 2010, I think, I hope I have then covered all your questions. Around about 80 to 85% of the existing backlog is scheduled to be turned into revenues in 2011, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question will come from Thomas Rau from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions, if I may. First of all, on free cash flow, I think given the strong growth of your business in the first quarter, I think the build in working capital was really quite moderate. What are your expectations on working capital and consequently on the free cash flow for the full year? And maybe also an indication on net debt for the full year. Second question is on the general industry in robotics. So you mentioned that in the first quarter the growth came almost equally from both general industry and also from the automotive business. Which split of revenues do you expect in the full year? And maybe finally, Dr. Reuter, you mentioned in your initial comments something about portfolio measures in systems. If you could please elaborate a little bit more on that. Thank you.
Well, I will answer initially the deeper questions, and then Till will help on the portfolio questions. Free cash flow 2011. We have seen, as you mentioned, a moderate growth in the first quarter. I would say also thanks to the development of down payments at certain customers, because I think you remember that my expectation was really that in the first two quarters some working capital investments. And this is still valid, and I expect in the second quarter now that we see a more negative cash flow, because then there should be a higher impact on the working capital investments in the second quarter. For the full year, the clear target is free cash flow positive. This means that I would say more moderately in the third quarter, but mainly in the fourth quarter, that we then have a positive free cash flow, which then would lead then to a positive free cash flow for the full year. And I think a positive free cash flow for the full year, this incorporates then, based on the new guidance, an increase of the total business of more than 10%. This means that especially that the increase in working capital is then refinanced by the cash earnings. A significant positive free cash flow would be possible if there is a positive development on down payments from especially OEM customers. But this is something which I cannot anticipate now for the ongoing three quarters, how the situation will be there. We currently see that they are prepared to provide down payments, but I think you also know that they have have had very brilliant numbers partly. Our major OEMs, look at Volkswagen, Daimler, but also Ford and BMW and others. But if we would assume that the current behavior concerning down payments keeps the same pace as in the first quarter, then there's more potential for a free cash flow, which is then more significant than only being above zero. And then this applies also to the net debt position. This would mean that the current net debt position of roughly below 80 million, the current net debt, that this would normally not be significantly changed. But if there is the potential, as mentioned, from customer down payments, this would then lead to a reduced net debt position, maybe coming then also in the range of 50 million or so. Concerning GI Robotics, when you look into the numbers, the GI growth rate is definitely above the growth rate in the OEM business when you look into the order book. But as I mentioned before, the sales split is quite favorable already. We have almost on par GI and automotive business in the robotics. There is a further move towards GI expected in for the remainder of the year. But it's not that significant as it was in the last year, that this has also significant impact then on the total margin of robotics or the whole group. Okay, so far from my side.
Okay. The question on the portfolio side, I think important is when we did take over in October 2009, we were stating the EBIT targets of 5 and 10%, which is also one way in looking at all the assets which are in the KUKA group. We are on the right track for the 5 and 10%. I think what your other question was coming in other calls is clearly we have in the high yield mentioned that we have also a potential basket to have acquisitions. So there are potential targets in the robotic area where we could grow in regions or in certain verticals. Talk about regions, it could be in clearly one of the brick areas or in the U.S. If you talk more about the systems where you were mentioned or where we also talked in the past about, system is not a homogeneous business as it looks from the outside. So we have here the big part in body and white, we're close to 400 million. We have assembly and test. We're doing gearbox assembly and also motor testing. We have the dice business. We have engineering business. So we are screening the portfolio of this business and see what is long-term belonging to the group, what is clearly getting to the 5% or more, because the 10 and 5%, we are convinced that we can at least get the 5 and 10%, and also are screening solutions for parts of systems where we see that for the last years there have been consolidation ideas in this industry, but it never worked out, and we have to test, really look at the opportunities which are around and which are around now, if we get a chance to do it for single business of systems, or if you also talk about partnering options in this area. But to date, I think it's screening and it's normal work, which is part of our board work, that we talk to, think about partnering options in various ways for single business or for bigger parts, and it's something where it takes some time from our management capacity.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one follow-up question on that. That means you're talking about potential divestments as well as potential acquisitions. So, and regarding the divestments, I think coming back to the systems business, I think going back to the past, there had been two smaller entities in your systems in your systems portfolio, which had been rather unprofitable. Could that mean that there might be a disposal in the course of the year?
Or I think most important is maybe it can. So we clearly as you know, it's a system, it's a portfolio of different companies. We have an engineering business where I get a new management a managing director, and the business picking up again. So what we're doing is a combination of operationally and portfolio measures. And I think there are options. Either you're getting clearly above the 5%, which is then operationally, or if you have, and you mentioned that also the cost program in 2009-10 was focused very much on parts of it, not around the globe. It was very much focused on Germany, and therefore we're thinking about options to be beneficial for the whole business and to to take into account acquisitions in the robotic area, portfolio measures and systems. So it's a mix of operational and portfolio measures.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take a question from Stefan Augustin from BHF Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. My question is most on your guidance. I would like to split that into the two divisions. Typical seasonality for systems is that 4Q is, let's say, stronger in revenues than the first quarter is. And let's say for robotics, you have explained that you're working currently on full capacity. So maybe you have the market demand, but I think let's take the 136 and multiply it by 4. Then I would be quite significantly above your guidance of 1.2 million. Frankly said, I'm above 1.3 billion at that time. What am I missing?
Well, I can initially, I think the most important thing is already mentioned by your side. The one thing is really then the output concerning robotics. This is, I would say, at least a reasonable assumption. Concerning systems, as I mentioned before, we also worked on the processes to be quicker on the revenue recognition. So I would say if you would use then the typical seasonality you've seen in the past, very low revenue recognitions in the first quarter at systems, and then increasing sales in the ongoing quarters, then this would lead to your 1.3 billion for sure. But this is something what we do not see, since we now are have the process improved to be earlier on the revenue recognition, also on milestones. And therefore, I would say you should not incorporate then a typical seasonality in the sales split at systems as you have seen it in the past. And if we, what would be from a financial point of view, picture, yeah, this is in the sales side. If we have then three quarters on an order side in the range of 300 per quarter, this would currently quite nicely support our guidance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I, taking back, I do not have to make, let's say, a total switch in my idea how the systems business is run. So you're not, let's say, this improvement in the processes will not lead that. Well, first quarter is actually now the one with the highest revenues for sure.
No. The only thing what I wanted to explain is that compared to especially also what you have seen last year, the 136 was in the first quarter, and a significant sharp increase in sales per quarter in during the quarters at systems. This picture is not likely to be the same in 2011.
Okay, then one follow-up to this is I recognize that the consolidation line for order intake has been reduced quite dramatically.
Yeah, this is a simple technicality. The reason is that KUKA has the robotics division has now founded an own legal entity in China, and also sells in the future then through its own entity the robots. This means in the past, this was only a systems entity, and therefore there was higher consolidation because KUKA Robot then sold intercompany to systems, the robots, and then systems sold to the customer. And this was then the consolidation line, which was driven by half from this China business. In the future, there is then no consolidation anymore because now the orders go directly to robot division itself and not initially to systems. That's the reason that in the future then this consolidation line will, I would say, roundabout being cut by half.
Okay, and this will probably take then, let's say, around 1 year, and then we will see the same development on the sales level too.
No, already from the second quarter on, it's planned that robotics sales also itself, it's robots. The first quarter, the sales was still mainly through the systems entity. From the second quarter on, the robot entity will sell also itself. This means in the second quarter you will see the first impact of reduced sales consolidation. Because the company was founded in March, I don't know the exact date of March, but from April on then you will already see a change in the consolidation line compared to the first quarter, where at least the sales was still in China through the systems company.
Okay, then just one quick, this is pertaining to one of the first questions. How much was the share of Quantech robots sold in the first quarter?
Well, we normally do not disclose the units we sell, because this is something a policy of KUKA since years now, and we also will continue that we not really disclose the number of units totally sold. But I think the most important indication for you is that the guidance we have given to the analysts for your modeling, that we expect some 3,000 units in the year 2011 being Quantech machines, and we have roughly 700 shipped in Q1.
Quantech.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take a question from Jasko Terzic from DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Jasko Terzic from DZ Bank. Some questions left. The first one pertains to your guidance. You have raised your sales guidance due to the good order development, and in particular general industry developed good, so I was wondering why the EBIT line is still reiterated and not raised. Are there some special effects here we should consider going forward in our estimates? The second question pertains to the systems business, where the gross margin deteriorated compared to the previous quarter, but the EBIT margin was up. Could you give us a reason? What are the main reason for this development? And the final question, housekeeping one, on the corporate level and the EBIT line, it stands at around minus 3 million in Q1. Could you give us a run rate for the remainder of the year?
Okay, maybe let me start with the guidance and the systems business. I think on the guidance side, I think first it's important that our policy is to guide you realistically and also conservative. Therefore, I think what we have seen in the first quarter is that we have a very good order intake and revenue, and that we have now the view for the whole year on the revenue side. And if we have more visibility on the rest of the year, we might come back again at the right time. But for us, it's important that we give you guidance for where we are seeing the baseline, where we and we have it's a lower hurdle, so we want to be at least at above 1.2 and at least 5%, which is our decision to go that far. And I think what is also important that we haven't adjusted the guidance for 2012. But we also do when we have more visibility, and if we are now in Q1 or Q2 2011, we're getting now contracts for beginning of next year. So I think that's something where Stefan and I were thinking through, and we're believing that it's the right guidance to give to increase the sales to stay with the 5%, above 5% for the whole year. On the system side, Q1, the orders, and it's coming back to the same effect. Talking about lead times of nine months plus in systems, so the cross margin, the project which are currently or which are worked on in Q1 are the projects which we gained last year in summer on the low point of the system on the engineering, where the price were down. So you see that the cross margin is one impact of the market, and where we have seen throughout the second half of 2010 that the price quality increased step by step, and therefore also the cross margin for the following quarters should go up and increase again. On the EBIT line, you see clearly the cost program, where we took out the structural cost of the system, and thereby also we have lower cross margin, we have a higher EBIT is because of the cost program, because you have, you know, on the one hand you have the structural cost of the business, you have some risk mitigation on the project, and then you have operational costs and the cross margin in the end. And what you see the impact on the EBIT line is in the first quarter clearly that the cost program on the SG&A cost from 2010.
Just a supplemental information from my side, because that systems is important when we look also now into the following quarters, and we talked about the revenue seasonality. In the margin development, there will still be a seasonality at systems, and this is mainly the fact also that we have more project closings and final acceptances throughout the end of the year. This means Q3, but especially Q4, where projects then are finally accepted and closed. And then you also can release the risk accruals you have incorporated in the running calculation. So therefore, structurally, systems has then also in the future seasonalities in the gross margins. Corporate level, as you mentioned, and this is unchanged, that we currently can calculate with some 3 million per quarter in the consolidation and corporate area concerning your EBIT line calculations.
Okay, so maybe one follow-up on the guidance. So your previous EBIT margin targets was then more challenging, and now it's more conservative. Is it possible to interpret it in that way?
I would say the main message is EBIT margin is greater than 5%. Yeah? And this is, I would say, is it conservative? Yes, there is potential, but today we're in the first quarter now of the whole year. Yeah? And we still see that the EBIT margin target being more than 5% is fully in range with, I would say, really the roadmap which Reuter and myself have written down on in 2009. And we're fully in our roadmap, yeah? And if we move ahead of the roadmap, we will guide you that we are ahead. But currently, we're fully in the roadmap.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take a follow-up question from Stefan Augustin from BIF Bank. Please go ahead.
This one on the second quarter order intake for robotics. As you have described, you're probably a little bit in short supply, so it is a question on do you take on an order or not. But could you elaborate a little bit on, let's say, the market demand side for all the three separate subdivisions, so automotive, general industry, and service as well, please?
Let me start on this. I think it's... It must be clear that the overall sentiment is very, very positive, and that the trend which you see in Q1 is still, it's lasting. We have now seen the April numbers, and I think it's unchanged trend-wise. What we have seen is, if you look back in 2010, that the automotive industry was picking up very early. So Q2 2010 automotive was starting the engine, and we have seen that general industry was picking up only in the second half of the year. What we see that automotive is on a high level stable, but the general industry is still picking up more. So the additional growth is coming from general industry, and automotive is stable on a high level. What you see on the service side, mentioning this big Siemens contract, and we also see that further service in the way of service robotics is further picking up, which is more like the strategic direction we are going. The service business of robotics, where we have the 20% out of the full revenue, we see that the service business is more or less equal to the share which we see in the robotics. So it's close to 50-50 automotive general industry, which will develop more in the direction of general industry when the share in general industry will pick up more what we see in the coming quarters.
Just to follow up on that one, if I recall that you had, from the prior crisis, units sold quite, a backlog of expected service to come in. And as you had explained prior, you're not, you do not need that much supply components to realize service business. So if I here look on a quarter-on-quarter basis, despite you being short in supply, can I have the assumption that that the service part of your robotics division will continue to grow, unhindered?
I think first it must be important that though we are clearly on the growth path, and So supply situation is not only Kukal and but the whole industry. If you look up how we ramped up the production capacities from 2009 to 2010 and now to 11. So I think everybody is trying to ramping up capacity, and the supply situation is somewhat with this across industries, and therefore I think today it's a seller's market, so we get better prices for our robots than 1 year ago or 2 years ago. On the service side, it's just a question of your argument. It could be also different because if someone is looking for new robots, but the seller market and the lead time is longer, it would require more service and more spare parts than in the past. So I think your assumption that service could be hindered or harmed by the strong demand from the market, I would not. I don't agree with this. I see that the service business is clearly on our 20% range, and we are taking all efforts to further grow our service business, which is one part is spare parts, it's training, and we see that the training part of the service is really very stable and further picking up. So there's no indication that any service business is we are short of service business.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We have no further questions, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, thanks from our side. Thank you very much for attending the call. I think we are very happy with the first quarter, and we also see that the trend is unchanged. We clearly have shown that the trend is unchanged. We have done the right decisions to also invest into the service robotics area. We see further demand from the BRIC countries and take a step to, on the one hand, clearly participate in the growth and be above the segments, it means above the VDMR and the robotics expectation of growth. And looking forward to the second quarter and clearly working also on the portfolio measures which we had some questions on. And looking forward to welcome you to the next call and also to our Hauptversammlung EGM if you would like to participate. Thank you so far.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.